Thong Earthlets, and welcome to the 2008 Filmcast. A day early because we wanted to catch Halloween before it went. No point putting this out on All Souls Day, let's face it. And I'd like to welcome the editor of the best-selling Scream and Misty special, Keith Richardson.
The horror!
And our quite frankly horrifying publishing assistant, Owen Johnson. I apologise. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I'll be honest here, the success of the Scream and Misty special, and a little bit about our seasonal favourites going forward. Particularly, actually, one good thing would be, let's look at our favourite horror stories from 2008, because for a sci-fi action comic, there has actually been some absolutely banging classics in the horror genre. But we'll come on to that in a bit. Keith, let's talk a little bit about Scream and Misty special, because I mean, we've sold
again
out. Yeah, well, we've sold out from our web shop, and some retailers are struggling to get hold of copies. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I never had any doubt that it wouldn't sell out. You know, we're such a great title as Scream, yeah, and Misty, of course.
Yeah,
how could it go wrong?
Yeah. So in terms of the success of this special, what do you think that means for the future?
Hopefully. I think it means we're going to see much more. Mm. And it also means that we might be able to delve even deeper into the old Egmont archive, now the Rebellion archive, mm-hmm. and put out some more titles. That's something I'm really interested in doing. In fact, I've got something germinating in my mind as we speak for next year, early next year.
Is that a Black Max thing, germinating?
Yeah, I like what you've done there. Yeah. Alas, not. But no, I think people again be quite excited about mm-hmm. what we have in mind for the next little project. Okay. But certainly, as far as Scream and Misty are concerned, it would make sense to do more in the near future because it seems to have gone down rather well.
What's your favourite bit? What's your favourite stick? Because I really enjoyed Black Max in particular, just because, you know, bit of old school.
That's really unfair to ask me which one's my favourite, because
which of the creators you worked with was your favourite?
Let me see. I was quite good.
Yeah,
I quite enjoyed editing it.
Yeah.
Let me see. No, they're all wonderful. I think the whole thing's turned out exactly in the way that I kind of wanted it to.
Some of
the stories are kind of more setups for, you know, further exploration down the line.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm so assured that that's going to happen. That's why they are the way they are. And
yeah.
Hopefully there was enough in there for people, you know, that people could invest in and they want to see more of these strips.
Mm.
But no, every single one of the creators was a pleasure to work with. It's just the in-house team that were a bloody nightmare. Repro graphics and design, always the worst.
I'd just like to make it clear that Keith is joking.
Possibly.
You're ghastly.
I am. Well, I was.
Yeah. I quite like the inclusion of a Spot the Difference.
Yeah, well, you
don't
know,
see enough of those these days.
You don't see enough of them. They're pretty cool. Yeah, that was masterminded by Odd Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Odd Oz Osborne. And yeah, I think he'd done a sterling job on it. And I've also got to give a shout out to Maz, one of our other designers, who helped out with some of the Misty editorial language. She's got far more flowery verse than I have.
In terms of people's reaction, you know, we've been keeping an eye out online.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to see the different reaction depending on who's talking. So you've got people who say, oh, I expected this to be exactly like Scream and Misty were. Some people saying, you know, we were right to kind of refresh the whole thing. And other people saying, and this seemed to be quite a predominant reaction, was these read like prequels.
Yep.
And set up stories.
Yep.
So, you know, without giving too much away, it was that what you were aiming for? To kind of re-kickstart this?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think, Yeah, a lot of them seem like kind of prequels. But if it gets people excited enough to kind of demand more, then that's just worked perfectly. Mm. They're not all like that. There's a few that are kind of well-rounded. But as for people that wanted it to be the same as it was 35 years ago, well, it kind of can't be. Mm. Look at any other publisher. Spider-Man today is not Spider-Man of the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. Mm. It's something you can't do. You can't go back and churn out a Misty title that was exactly like Misty back in the early 80s, late 70s. It's just, you can't do it anymore.
And it's really fun to see artists and writers that maybe weren't around do their takes. To repurpose this stuff. And I mean, a personal favorite of mine is the Dracula file, which I thought was a beautiful sort of repositioning of some of that kind of material, and art's come on such a long way, you know, since that stuff. To see these guys tackle it is refreshing, and you're quite right.
It's all about getting new talent on board. And I can say, to a person, everyone involved was so excited about the various strips they were on. Mm. You know, there are no half measures taken by any of the creative talent.
I mean, these are strong concepts.
Yeah, 100%.
And particularly something like the Sentinels.
Yes.
Which, you know, we had the Return of the Sentinels, and you've got a mixture of kind of social commentary on that and also Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. And I would like to point out again, for people saying, you know, Misty got the short end of the stick, it was originally just going to be a Scream special. Mm. I had started commissioning before, you know, in his infinite wisdom, our publishing manager decided to make it Scream and Misty, which is a great idea, but I had already started commissioning stories, so there wasn't a lot of room left for an equal balance of strips. But I think we got the equal balance right in the editorial voices. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a very, very strong Misty and a great one-off by Alec Worley and Danny in Fate of Fairy Hunter, which was very much, you know, inspired by those one-off Misty strips of old. So, next time round, who knows, it might be more Misty heavy. Mm. And we did start work on this very early on. I did start planning it very early on after we acquired the archive. So I must admit, Scream, I've made no bones about it, Scream's always been my favourite comic book. Mm. My favourite anthology. Ever since I bought it on a school trip to Greenwich, me and my friends bought the copies that they had in this little newsagent's, put the free fangs in and chased around the girls in our class. It's always been my favourite comic book. Misty, I have grown to love it over the last few months, genuinely so, and I just think Shirley Bellwood, I lament the fact that she's still not around, because I would have so much work to give that person. Mm. But the fact of the matter is, when I started this little side project off, I wasn't really that well versed in Misty. Mm. I think we'd collected up Moonchild and Four Faces of Eve. That was even before we acquired the archive, so I really didn't know that much about the title. Now that we have every issue in house and I've gone through it, I really appreciate how much of a strong title it actually was. Mm. And it does deserve its place amongst the best of the kind of British anthology comics that have been out there.
Yeah. I mean, you're barely out the cradle, so you weren't have read Scream or Misty.
See, it's Halloween, you should have said barely out the cradle grave.
Yeah. I see what he did there.
Fantastic.
Talking like I'm not even here. I appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah.
Born in 1987. Where are you going with this?
What was your reaction to this stuff? Because you haven't got the kind of nostalgia for this kind of
thing. No. But there's a lot of bleed with this kind of stuff in terms of a title begets. I'm a firm believer in the history of horror, both in film, huge film fan. Love all the Universal monsters and all the kind of creepy tales and Twilight Zone. I've been a huge fan of Twilight Zone for years. So, and obviously reading things, you know, Dark Horse comics, like the Eerie comics and things, coming to this, it felt like stepping on the same kind of territory, the same kind of love. And but really amazing to see acutely British horror comics.
Yeah.
That's been fantastic. So, I'm a convert 100%, and seeing what Keith's done with the stuff, and like I say, much like him,
they're now hugging. It's beautiful.
You know, it's been really, really nice to witness the dusting off of the cobwebs on some of those titles and see what happens with them. But yeah, it's firmly in my aesthetic ballpark to kind of be here when the archive stuff's been coming in, seeing it.
Because I mean, British horror comics kind of, well, they essentially died with Scream and Misty, yeah, unfortunately. But in terms of horror, like I said at the beginning, you know, 2000 AD has continued to produce some of the best horror series. I mean, you've already kind of mentioned one of them, which was
Cradle Grave,
and Emma Bagley's Cradle Grave.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for me to think about the parallels between something like Cradle Grave and something like Return of the Sentinels or The 13th Floor, where, like I said, you do have a little bit of social commentary in amongst the horror. You know, I mean, is that the best kind of horror where it's kind of, it's more horrific because it's merging in a little bit of daily life?
I think so. I guess it depends on the writer. But, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, my favourite, if we're talking about 2000 AD horror strips, it'd be amiss of me not to mention the great Fiends Off the Eastern Ever-Loving Front, which I just adore, and I'll constantly prod Tharg and ask for more of that, please, because I just can't get enough of that.
And Nazis and vampires. I mean, you really can't go wrong, can you?
You cannot go wrong. Yeah. And that first series is so ingrained in my mind. It was a pleasure kind of putting that out, collecting it up and putting it out there. And I love the sequels as well. I'd love to see more. In fact, I even love the Dave Bishop book, the novel.
Oh, right, okay.
It's pretty cool as well. Yeah. But yeah, that's something I'd certainly like to see rise from the grave.
Just not stopping
just
here.
Throwing them out. We're just going to keep going until we get kicked out. Yeah. But it's amazing to see that thread tying, you know, because we had a fantastic talk event at Orbital just this weekend gone with Keith chatting with Andy Oliver of Broken Frontier and Simon Furman.
Yeah, thanks, Simon.
Great job. And amazing, you know, when that interview surfaces, how much Simon remembers and how much he can go into it. And we were talking very much about the 13th Floor and the idea that back in the day it was very much just get something out. We need a new horror title. We need a new science fiction title. Mm. And obviously 2000 AD blew up, but there was a very short window there for Scream. But amazing that regardless of what genre these British creators were working in, you still had this Brighton rock of black humour and social commentary running through regardless of the genre of the title, which I found really super interesting. And there's even crossover, like in 2080, you got like The Dark Judges, which is, you know, full on horror. There is that bleed there, I think is wicked.
Yeah. I mean, what is it about horror that still appeals? I mean, you know, you've got the Screaming Mystery Special. We brought it out in time for Halloween for various, very obvious reasons. But everyone's gone mad for it. And I don't know, is it just that Halloween is now a bigger thing than it ever used to be?
Oh, I'd certainly say it is. Right. I mean, compared to even 10 years ago, my local Sainsbury's, it has this massive aisle just full of Halloween tat. 10 years ago, they might have had a shelf full of bits and bobs, but
well, probably Christmas stuff. By this
point, it's really taken off. And after the talk that Owen was just talking about, up in Orbital Comics in Central London, I was kind of shocked afterwards, just walking around the streets and seeing how many people were dressed up in Halloween costumes, going off to parties or staggering out of pubs.
It's a time of the year it's fully sanctioned to, you know, dress up to assume another identity, which everyone likes to do, which is part of, I think, the rise in cosplay culture. It is
the only time of the year when cosplay is acceptable. I will say that.
Oh, here we go.
The only time of the year.
But, you know, it's also nice, you know, to flirt with the dark a little bit.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why I ask is because horror comics are actually quite difficult to do because movie horror and the written word as well, it's all dependent on timing. It's all dependent on the level of suspense. Whereas quite often what I find, because I think IDW did a horror thing inspired with Ashley Wood years ago now. Yeah.
They've done a few things, like they did on 30 Days of Night with Steve.
And so often I find my eyes sort of flicking ahead, whether I like it or not, and sort of spoiling surprises. Mm. So particularly when you've only got like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pages to create suspense. That's kind of difficult.
Well, also, I think a key thing for me is ambiguity is important to horror. Or, you know, I mean, you look at Alien and what is not seen and what is not shown or what is intimated is more powerful.
Mm.
Comics is incredibly visually rigid. That's one of the great things about it. But I find that the best horror comics come at things sideways, come at things slowly, and it kind of creeps up. My two favorite kind of examples, I'd throw Lock and Key in here, is an incredibly accessible family drama that creeps up on you and becomes all-out horror. And Alan's Swamp Thing stuff. There's one issue of Swamp Thing that's absolutely horrific. It's got absolutely nothing to do with monsters and things like that. It's, you know, an abusive relationship that kind of develops. And I think you have to... my benchmark, I can't remember where I read this quote, it's kind of like, when you want to do horror comics, what really, really, really scares you?
Mm.
For me, that's not always... werewolves or this or that. It's
100%.
It's, you know, one of my favorite films is Rosemary's Baby, because there's people around you living in the same building that look very quaint, and, you know, pensioners making you drinks and things like that, when really they're, you know, Satanists. We've all been there.
You know, you have
it's just the part
it's relatable. Yeah,
you have your eeries and your creepies, which were amazing anthology books, but it was quite overt horror, and then stuff like Owen's talking about, which, you know, there's elements of real world in there, which is what is really truly scary. You know, so I, something for me, something like V for Vendetta, I would consider far more of a horror story than The 13th Floor, because The 13th Floor is all fantasy. V for Vendetta, you think, fascist state, this is terrible. This is a horrible scenario. It makes me feel, it does make the hairs prick up on the back of my neck. And I've got to be honest, I know that, of course, Scream and Misty are kind of horror-tinged. I don't think any of them were overtly horror titles, though. Okay. Misty was more a little bit spooky, a little bit sinister, a little bit spooky.
Yeah.
Scream was always a bit of a dark comedy masquerading as a horror. The kids, you know, you look at stuff like the Dracula file, it had his horrific moments, but then you had these daft scenarios where he's hiding in a post box, like going to a fancy dress party and everyone's congratulating him for the way he's dressed. It was never out and out horror. And, you know, you've got Kingdom of the Cats in there as well. Yeah. It's horror tinged, but not overtly horror.
All right. Well, with the special, what was the kind of balance that you wanted to strike?
Yeah.
Between the kind of overt horror and less overt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I got that with the... I think the real horror strip in the book is probably the Sentinels.
Mm.
Again, I mean, it's got like... You have this element of like this fascist world, which, you know, it's something that, especially in these times...
Well, it's become disturbingly relevant again.
Could very relevant, could happen. Now, that to me is what I would call horrific. You know, Max, it's got horror elements in it, rather, but it's just a good, fun romp. It's kind of horror,
giant
fantasy, bats. Dark humour.
Yeah,
yeah, and of course, Black Max, what good fun. I mean, yes, it's horror, but I don't envisage walking down Hammersmith Broadway and seeing giant bats attacking me and a biplane flying, swooping down, firing bone guns at me and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, it's all good fun. Obviously, there's horror elements to it, but there's nothing really overtly horrific apart from, I would say, the Sentinels. But the very idea is quite chilling when you think about it.
Although so much of this has come from our acquisition of the old IPC Egmont archive, David McDonald at Hibernia Press was doing an awful lot of stuff, particularly with the Dracula Files.
That's
and
right.
Doomlord and 13th Floor?
13th Floor, he's collected up some of that,
Prior to that, so, you know, we're indebted to him.
Indeed. But
do you want to talk a little bit more about how that's kind of influenced what we've done?
Yeah, well David put out a book called It's Ghastly, which was about the kind of life and demise of Scream. And I'd thoroughly recommend it to everyone. It's a fantastic read. He's got extensive interviews in there with Ian Rimmer, the original
former guest on the podcast.
That's right. Yep. And Scream editor. And of course, Simon Furman, who we spent the night with at
Ooh.
Orbital.
Ooh.
Indeed. we all know that Simon went on to kind of, he's basically the big name over at Transformers. He's pretty much kind of planned all that history out. But in the Scream Mystic special, in the Scream special that Hibernia put out, what I really loved reading that was the, which kind of, germinated the idea when we got the archive of starting with Scream, getting it out in getting it out around Halloween, was that there's a little section at the towards the end of the book where Ian Rimmer talks to Dave a little bit about what was planned in future issues of Scream, and there were some great ideas. He even had some of the series. One series was called, I think it was called Go or Bones of Mars, where these astronauts colonize Mars, or it might have been the moon. I can't remember. Sorry, David. They uncover these alien bones. They uncover these alien bones, which once they kind of unearth them, they're plagued by the spirits of these dead aliens. And I thought, oh, that sounds quite cool. And also, the biggest tragedy for British comics, anyway, is that I'm pretty sure he'd already done a one-off Library of Death story, but I think Steve Dillon was lined up to do a ongoing werewolf strip.
Wow.
Which, when you see Steve's werewolves, both in 2018, Cried a Werewolf, and his one-off in Scream, I could have devoured far more of that.
Mm.
Yeah, it looked absolutely fantastic. So that was kind of like, that was quite inspiring, reading what was to come. So, you know, ideally, going forward, I want to kind of keep the flag flying, and who knows, we might be able to visit some of those concepts and maybe get them off the ground.
Is there a market for this stuff? Because obviously the Scream Mystery Special has done very well. We've had a nice kind of cross audience. So, you know, people wouldn't necessarily pick up a 2000 AD title. They've been picking this up, whether for nostalgia or whatever other reason. Is there enough of an audience out there to sustain this kind of thing, do you reckon?
I think so. I mean, the biggest selling comic on the marketplace still to this day is The Walking Dead, which is a horror title. So I've got no doubt in my mind that there is a market for it. Horror seems to be back with a vengeance this year. It kind of cleaned up in the cinema recently. That got a massive box office return, where other fantasy films have kind of come along, and especially sci-fi like Valerian kind of died at the box office. So, and then of course you've got Stranger Things that we were just discussing, season 2, very bad. But lots of people
might have to cut that one.
No spoilers.
I'm sorry, that's my opinion, folks. But yeah, I mean, again, something that's kind of a horror-driven narrative for that series. So I think horror's back in a big bad way, and I don't see any reason why there isn't room for a new horror anthology comic in the marketplace.
Put it this way, Mike, if all your loyal listeners go out, run out into the streets and buy what is left of the copies, then we may be able to do some more.
Very true.
Yeah. So this evening, people are going to sit down and carve out
their
pumpkins and bob for apples and do all of the things that people do on Halloween these days. What are you going to be watching?
What am I going to be watching? Wow,
it's a big question.
Yeah, I've got two films that are my two favourite horror films. So I'll probably have to watch one of those because a young baby won't let me watch two. It gives me no free time. But my two favourite horror films are Tourist Trap, which I advise everyone goes out and watches. It's sublime, genius filmmaking.
Sound. Like a horror movie.
It's brilliant.
Give us the premise.
It's brilliant. You've got this, basically, you've got this kind of rundown hotel. People turn up there to stay, and it's actually run by a telekinetic, mad Jason Voorhees type who basically turns all these people into like cadaverous dummies.
Brilliant.
But it's fantastic. I'm not doing any justice.
And it sounds like a little House of Wax in there.
It's a little bit waxy, I got to say, but better. But better. It's got a little bit of the old wax about it. Yeah, a little bit of the old wax. But my second film that I'd recommend is probably Demons, which Lamberto Bava. Fantastic stuff. I'm sure most people have seen that now.
Well, I've just got a thumbs up through the window from Nick there, which was...
It's got the best horror movie character of all time in Tony the Pimp.
Right.
Wow.
God love him. What a dude.
Okay.
Gets wasted far too early in the film. Spoilers, sorry guys. But it is from the 80s, so you should have seen it by now. But what a great movie. Great soundtrack by Goblin. Doesn't make a lick of sense, really, when you sit down and analyse it. But you know what? It's great. Brilliant.
For me, We were talking about like socially prescient horror earlier. Mm. One of my favorite horror films that isn't a horror film, it's more of a thriller, but it's horrifying. Of the last sort of 5 years is a film called Green Room, which is about punks versus Nazis. That's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. I would also watch, I'm a big fan of the Hammer stuff, Devil Rides Out, because the only film I know includes a drive-by exorcism, which I'm all down for. And there's a film, a really old film, called The Old Dark House, which I know you've seen, by James Whale, who did Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. For me, Old
Not
Dark
the
House...
Shock Jock, James Whale.
Shock Jock?
Yeah. He's too young. He's too young to remember this.
Sorry,
he's
lost. Straight over my head.
That's all right.
I was rolling into a rant about James Whale, who's amazing.
Yeah,
but
he's good.
Essentially, doesn't feel like horror. It's just about crazy old people that live in a house together, but it goes into very weird, creepy territory. But it's one of the lost gems, basically. Okay. So
the one I always always like to watch on Halloween, which I'm no longer allowed to watch because my other half says it's rubbish, is the Arthur Askey masterpiece Ghost Train.
Nice.
From the 1940s.
Arthur,
I think it was 1944. And if you either cut out or fast forward through all the bits with Arthur Askey, it's actually a really good ghost film. But
you can re-edit.
You should re-edit, because I mean, Arthur Askey, it's real kind of, where's me washboard kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he is supremely annoying all the way through it. But it's about a bunch of people who are on a train and they get dropped, they've missed their connection, and they get dropped off at this train station in the middle of nowhere late at night. Next train's not going to be coming for ages, but they've been told this ghost story about this. There's a swing bridge next to the station, and they've been told about how the ghosts of people who died when a train went over the swing bridge
They're all dead.
Nope.
One of them's dead.
Nope.
Two of them.
Nope.
No one's dead, but somebody else is dead.
No one is dead. You want me to spoil
this? This is so spoilery. I haven't seen Ghost Train. Come on.
Right, okay. I'm not going to spoil it, but Arthur Askey, very annoying, but I love that film because, without him, it's a great one.
Has Ghost Rider ever had a train, out of interest?
He probably has. Set fire to a train.
No, because then he'd be called the Ghost Conductor, wouldn't he? Not Ghost Rider. Fucking hell.
Turned into an Agatha Christie novel, The Ghost Conductor.
That'd be fantastic. Ghost Rider on an inner city.
Second pick.
In a city train.
The second one I've always wanted to watch on Halloween, either I've never had the nerve or the person I'm living with won't watch it, is The Devils.
Oh,
Russell,
God.
Based on The Devils of Loudon by Aldous Huxley, which is fantastic.
You definitely have to watch that film.
I've seen it.
Oh.
You
can't watch it again.
I'm not going to watch it on my own. Just the bit with the blocks. And the legs, just no, that's terrible. Yeah.
I watch it out of habit every Halloween. Nuns? Habit? Sorry, whoops, that was...
I'm so into that.
That's quite horrific.
Because that was a terrible point and it deserved to...
Literally took 10 minutes.
You didn't even realise.
I was like, has Keith completely missed the point of this whole segment where we're talking about our favourite... Sorry about that.
I thought it worked.
No. Okay. I was just being slow.
Another great one, Carousel of Fear.
Oh,
brilliant
movie.
That is great.
Really, really good movie. You seen that one?
Yeah.
I just made it up, or is it real?
I don't know.
I just made it up.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of a different one.
Yeah, see, got him. I bet I got a few of you as well.
This podcast has gone completely off the rails.
Sorry, gone off the rails a little bit. And of course,
you're going in fake movies just to fake us out.
Yeah.
What kind of a monster are you?
Fake moves.
You've shared an office with him. You know what he's like.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, you know, the A to Z of 2000 is quite scary. There's a scary guy in there.
That beard, man. It's disgraceful.
What about Field in England? I thought that was like when you were a...
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favourite films, but it's not a horror film.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Well, I suppose it's meant to be, but I don't find it very horrific.
Do you feel very queasy when you watch it, though?
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
A little bit.
There's all the mushrooms.
A little bit. And
in the film.
I said what?
I've got to say, apart from the illustrious Scream and the fantastic Misty, do you guys have like a favourite horror comic? I know you mentioned Lock and Key already.
Yeah.
But is there one that kind of stands head and shoulders above the rest?
I mean, really, in terms of horror, my 2008 knowledge far outstrips anything else. I've not really picked up horror comics from where I was, but some things like Cradle Grave. I really enjoy The Alienist because that's that kind of Victorian-y old school thing. I'm trying to think what else there's been.
Well, our own Hannah Berry has a great book called Adamtine, which is very, very spooky.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that's a great book to get tucked into on a Halloween Eve. And I would say, of course, we've already mentioned The Walking Dead.
Mm. Mm.
Still up there, still out there. And, of course, our own Charlie Adlard.
Still on it, yeah.
Delivering every month.
Incredible. I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, something like Hellboy.
Yeah.
Kind of classic Hellboy when it was really nice and horrific. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, not that the modern stuff is more recent stuff is rubbish, but it's much more kind of folklore-y and whatnot. But the early stuff when it was Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I really enjoyed, and we're wandering completely off topic here, but over a holiday recently, we played Mythos Tales. Have you ever played Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective? It's like a detective game where you've got like a map of London and you've got to decide who to go and talk to, and you've got to get as many or fewer goes than Sherlock Holmes before you solve it.
Right.
But someone's done one based in H.P. Lovecraft's Arkham.
Oh, cool.
So you have cases to solve with each one, and they get more horrific. It's really, really, really good. And because I'm not normally massively into Lovecraft, like things like the Dunwich Horror, Shadow of Innsmouth, those stories are fine. But I'm not massively, massively into the kind of wider mythos. But that was, a nice bit of atmosphere.
Yeah,
and I think that's the films, the comics, the TV, the books. It's about the atmosphere, as opposed to like the central plot or anything. Like if I feel like I'm plunged into it, then it's one of the reasons why I enjoy Cradle Grave.
Yeah. So keeping on the Halloween tip.
Yeah.
You can fake you're in the middle of Mega City 1. The Dark Judges are doing what they do best.
Yep.
Basically wiping out all the sits. You're there. You have to take your chance with one Dark Judge. Which Dark Judge would it be, and why do you think that would be the best one for you to go up against?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Fear, because he's the crappiest one.
You know what? He's my favourite.
Really?
I know it's one of the best panels in comics, but it did, even back in the 80s to now, it does make my heart sink that he was taken out so easily by Dread.
You just got to sort of stay to the side of him at all times.
Yeah. I
like his wing a bit.
Who would you go for?
Bits, yeah.
Who would you go for? One Dark Judge.
I'm just go with Death, just because I feel I could cheat Death. I could do that.
But he's the boss man. He's the leader. He's he's the alien super fiend.
He needs a good dentist.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one who does mass destruction is Fire, because he can just set fire.
Yeah, no way.
All the others, it's very personal. Yeah. Like Fear's got to walk up, make sure they're looking at him, and just go.
Yeah.
And then,
I take on Mortis.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What?
Why?
Excuse me?
Why?
Because he has no guts. He's just a skeleton. Has no guts? Okay.
I love that you kind of reverse engineered that entire conversation just so you could use that.
I wonder why you brought it up. I was just like, this Keith,
where's this going? Yeah. A substandard joke. That's
fun.
Where it's going.
Halloween fun. Halloween bounce.
See, are these the kind of thing we can expect in future?
Oh, God, no.
Screamer Missy specials. These
bad
terrible puns?
Let's put these puns 6 feet under.
Yeah.
We're not even drinking, guys.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should. So from everybody at 2000 AD, have a safe and happy Halloween.
Bye, Screamer Misty.
Alert! 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 Full power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Be 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the galaxy's greatest comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000 AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000AD online. And follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.